Well, we're all here in the room again doing another episode of True Crime on Easy Street. I have been up since 4 o'clock this morning because I couldn't sleep last night. My name is Scott Wright. I am a mediocre journalist.
I'm Kelly Turner. I'm not a doctor. Let's see. I've been up since 6. No, 5.
And I'm Katie Givens. I'm not a lawyer, and I slept a lot longer than both of you this morning.
I was going to send that text at 4 a.m., and I sat on it for 2 hours.
God, I know. Scott sends us a text early this morning that says something about I can't sleep.
I can't sleep, and I'm dragging you down with me.
Yeah, but you sent it at like 6 a.m.,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, but I wrote it at 4, and I sat there and stared at it for 2 hours just to wait until at least there was daylight in the sky before I sent it.
Well, I saw where you had texted this morning, 2 texts.
Yeah.
And I thought to myself, because I hadn't read them yet, and I said, oh, he's sick.
Oh, okay.
We're not going to be able to record today. That's the first thing that I thought.
Oh, wow.
I did.
You gave up on me, and you didn't even read the damn thing yet.
That's right. And I was like, how dare he say he can't record because he's sick.
Never.
He's not sick.
I will give you guys whatever virus I have. I will show up on Sunday at noon regardless.
That's great.
Doesn't bother me at all.
My phone's never going to wake me up, so you can send the text.
All right. Good deal. All right. I won't wait until 6 next time.
We share everything, including germs here at True Crime on Easy Street. Keep that in mind before you enter the studio and record with us.
Indeed. And I have no idea what we're doing today. I'm literally the dumbest person probably in Cherokee County right now. I have no idea what you guys are going to talk about. So I'm excited to hear this case. You guys have been bantering about it before we turn the mics on, but I don't know anything about it. So I'm curious to see what happens.
Didn't you have a story you wanted to tell us today?
Did I?
I think so.
No, you told me that you were going to do the palate cleanser.
Okay, I'll do
the palate cleanser. We're talking about, I was going to tell my Raising Arizona story.
Oh, okay. Go ahead with it.
So Raising Arizona is one of my favorite movies of all times. Kevin Green will agree with me, and we were supposed to give him a shout-out a couple of weeks ago, and he gets a little pissy when you don't. So, Kevin, hello.
What? Well, did you drop the ball on his shout-out?
Like, yes.
What was it supposed to be for?
It was just because he says he's our number one listener, and he's been on the road a lot traveling with his job.
He is our number one listener.
Yeah, so
I believe
he said, why don't you give me another shout-out sometime? So, we're done. We've done that. But he loves Raising Arizona as much as I do. It's both of our favorite comedy films.
Okay.
And my story is, I was watching it again last night when I couldn't sleep, and I was reminded that in the early 90s, when Katie was still a gleam in her father's eye, I came home from college one weekend, walked in the door of my parents' house on a Saturday afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
My dad is sitting in the recliner. I think he's choking. I think I'm going to have to run over and give him the Heimlich maneuver. But he's not choking. He's laughing, but he's reached the point of laughter where nothing is coming out of his mouth. And I turn and look at the TV, and it is Raising Arizona. So every time I'm reminded of Raising Arizona, it makes me think of Dad in that weekend and how hard he laughed at that film. And if I didn't like the film before then, it would still be my favorite film after that because it's a great memory that I have of Dad. And I was watching it this morning, and I thought of it. So
That is a great memory. Love that.
It was right at the point where you guys have seen the movie, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So it's right at the point where the car chase is happening
mm-hmm.
in the middle. He's got the Huggies, and he opens the truck door, and the guy looks and says, son, you've got a panty on your head. That's when I walked in the door. That's when I walked in, and Dad was doing what you're doing. He was laughing, and nothing was coming out. Anyway.
That's a great. I need to go back and rewatch that.
I watch it every once in a while. If I get bored, I just turn it on.
Yeah, I've seen the movie multiple times over the years, but it's been a little bit since
I think
I
know it by heart.
Oh,
I've seen it. What did I say? 414 times I've seen it.
That's
probably not an exaggeration. It's a lot.
I also need to set the scene for everyone. Scott is also in the studio today with his sunglasses on.
They're prescription, damn it. I can't see without them, but okay, fine.
He does this from time to time. He forgets his regular glasses because he's got his sunglasses
on. Oh, no, you're...
Yeah, now I've broken
it. Now he's pulled his croakies off.
He pulled his sunglasses off with his headphones.
I forgot that I had this thing on the back.
And the cord that keeps the sunglasses on his neck.
Well, we are going into a lot of detail here today. All right, so what are you wearing today?
It was still stuck in the headphones there. So, yeah. I have on a t-shirt and shorts. What are you wearing today,
I'm
Scott?
Overdressed, apparently. I have on jeans and a shirt.
Okay, Katie, what are you wearing?
Jeans and a shirt.
Okay, well, that's very interesting, and that's going to lead us right into our palate cleanser.
We're clothed.
Yeah, we're clothed. Let's talk about a landlord in Germany who was not clothed.
Uh-oh.
This is a palate cleanser that we said we were going to start doing this season.
We said it, and then we don't do it that often.
Well, we don't because that makes it more special.
Yeah. It I got really it.
Does.
Okay.
Yeah. And sometimes here at True Crime on Easy Street, or all times here at True Crime on Easy Street, our topics are very serious and yeah. They're sad. And it's, you know, crime.
Yeah.
It's crime.
Yeah. It's right in the title.
But occasionally we find a story that we can share with you that we thought was funny.
Yes.
And hopefully
we both found
too.
The same story, not even knowing that we were looking.
Yeah. Scott and I were both working on a palate cleanser, Katie.
Mm-hmm.
And we found the same one.
Yeah,
I was unaware.
And so we agreed we would share it this mm-hmm. morning.
Yep.
So this comes from AP News, and this story posted on April the 26th, 2023. So very recent.
Yeah, good. And we're back where we can do that now.
Yep. So I'm just going to read most of this article to you because I don't think you can state it. I mean, it's priceless.
Yeah, it's well written.
A German court said Wednesday that a landlord sunbathing naked in the courtyard of his building wasn't a reason for his tenants to reduce their rental payments.
Well,
you can't blame him for trying, though, right?
The case involved a building in an upmarket residential district of Frankfurt, which included an office floor rented by a human resources company.
Okay, so they're trying to hire people. And this is going on outside the window.
Or imagine they're bringing you in and they're having to fire you maybe for a company.
Yeah.
And you look out the window into the courtyard and you see the landlord sunbathing. No. So we'll get into that on could you actually see him? All right. The company withheld rent because it objected, among other things, to the landlord's naked sunbathing. In response, the landlord sued him. So he said, where's my rent? And they said, you know what? Since we saw your penis,
we're not paying you.
We're not paying you rent.
Okay.
And he said, I'll see you in court. So the Frankfurt State Court rejected the company's reasoning, finding that, quote, the usability of the rented property was not impaired by the plaintiff sunning himself naked in the courtyard, mm-hmm. end quote.
All right.
The German court said, we don't care.
The law has spoken, and the law is naked.
It said in a statement that it couldn't see an, quote, inadmissible, deliberately improper effect on the property, end quote.
Okay.
Judges were ruling on an appeal against a lower court. So went to a lower court. They ruled in favor of the landlord. They took it to a higher court, and the higher court agreed. They found that the tenant had been entitled to reduce rental payments for 3 months only because of noisy construction that was going on in the neighborhood.
Which had nothing to do with the nudity, I assume.
Nothing to do with the nudity.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what they're... Now, the court said that the spot where the landlord sunbathed could only be seen from the rented office by leaning far out of the window.
Oh, I mean...
So you gotta lean out of the window and really look. To see him sunbathing.
It's also kind of hard to get out of paying your rent. Like, because you've made an agreement to pay this rent.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, whatever the, you know, you can sometimes get, like they did, like get some relief in court for different things. But by and large, you've agreed to pay rent.
Have a no nudity clause in your lease agreement, you're shit out of luck.
Yeah. It also said that the tenant failed to prove that he took the stairs to the courtyard unclothed. Quote, on the contrary, the plaintiff stated credibly that he always wore a bathrobe, which he only took off just before the sun lounger.
So there's like a ta-da moment when he gets outside. Yeah.
Yeah. He comes through the stairwell in his robe.
Mm-hmm.
He gets to the lounger and he takes it off. You know what? I envision Jim Carrey. What was the movie where he's God for a day?
Oh, Bruce Almighty.
Mm-hmm. And he takes his clothes off in that room and he's like, I mean, they just, that's where I envision this guy getting to that lounger and just robe. so they did get a little bit of relief because of the construction in the area. Now, I don't know if the construction workers could see the nudity or not. But probably not, I would say, because a courtyard is normally in the back of a building.
From the street.
Like in the middle, maybe.
Yeah.
Where, yeah. I don't know, but, you know, in the States, you can't sunbathe nude Anywhere, can you?
I think you can on your private property.
But not in a courtyard, in a building.
What if it's your courtyard?
I think the courts here might not rule in favor of not paying your rent, but they might say...
You got to quit doing that.
Put on a Speedo.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was thinking that this is so European.
It is. It is. Yeah, yeah. The German courts were like, look, he's sunbathing. He's not bothering you. Your business is not ruined.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Quit Carry looking. On.
Yeah, yeah, quit looking. Quit looking. Leaning out the window. Mm-hmm. You pervs. You're supposed to be worried about human resources.
Yeah. Not the human next door.
Yeah. Yeah. So there you go. There's your palate cleanser for today. If you guys were on the, if you were part of those judges that mm-hmm. had to rule, how would you rule?
I think the same way.
Yeah.
It's his property. He can do what he wants.
Now, remember, we live in America, so how would you rule?
I still would, just because it would probably piss somebody off.
Yeah, especially when they throw in the, you're having to lean out a window mm-hmm. to see it. Like,
yeah,
you
lost
doing?
Me there.
Yeah.
Yeah, stay inside.
Because we do have some clothing optional places in the United States. I'm mm-hmm. thinking of a specific bar in Key West that I heard about.
Yeah.
I've never been. I mean, I've heard about it.
I've been there. No, they tell me I had a great time.
I've been there, too. But remember, I said clothing optional, and right. I chose... The option of clothing.
Option okay.
Go. Yeah.
I did too.
Yeah. But yeah. And it's, you know, so we do have those places that are designated for that, but I don't think you're going to find any kind of area designated for that that's a that's an office building near a human resources company.
I wouldn't think so.
No, no. I also wouldn't have made this choice to go sunbathe nude this close to,
yeah,
you know, an office building, but, you know, I guess to each their own.
Right. Right.
I guess. He got away with it.
He did. And they got to pay his rent. They got to pay rent.
Yeah. Yeah. That's stupid. They should have just sued him for a Speedo.
It just seems like two different issues, yeah. doesn't mm-hmm. it?
Agreed.
Yeah. And maybe there it's not. I don't know. Oh, well. All so right. there you go. So the naked landlord prevails. How about that?
Title of the episode.
There it is.
All right, so today, after our little bit of a palate cleanser and a deep breath, mm-hmm. I want to say, Scott, you did a fantastic job last week on Abraham Lincoln.
Yes.
It was fun. Right. I'm glad we got to do that.
It was great. It was
a lot of fun.
I thought it was great.
I can't remember who I was talking to, but they were asking, like, what episode was coming up, and I was telling them Abraham Lincoln, and they were like, oh, I love that.
So oh, yeah? Cool. Awesome.
Yeah.
All right, good. Good. Hope everybody liked it.
Yep, it was.
Give us 5 stars if you like it so damn much.
Yeah, yeah. If you were the person who said that to me, give us a comment and a rating.
Fire
I can't
off
remember
a
who
nice
was.
Statement on
don't
our behalf.
Just give us 5. Give us 5 stars, and you must comment.
Yes,
or we don't know that you've given us 5
and we
stars.
Can't shout you out if we don't know your name.
That's right.
We have one of those screwy handles like everybody has.
That's okay. We'll shout it out. I've called out 15 numbers before.
That's true. Yeah,
I don't care.
Yahoo 7139.
I got it.
At AOL.com.
I won't.
You know,
miss
people still
number.
Have AOL email addresses.
Really?
2 weeks ago, somebody gave me their email address, and it was at AOL.com.
Can really? They log in?
I guess, because they replied.
Are they not just infected with viruses and spam?
I assume it's just Windows popping up on their computer screen all the time, incessantly. But that's what they got.
Okay. All right. Well.
How did we get here?
I don't know. We're talking about email and 5 stars. Please give us all of
right.
those. Anyways, all right. So today we are back in Alabama for a local case. I know last week and the week before, both of our cases had Alabama ties mm-hmm. that we talked about. But this week, this case happened in Alabama and one county away from where we are. We are located in the beautiful Cherokee County.
Yeah, stick around for the commercial. We will tell you all about it.
All about it. But this happened in Etowah County, which is just next door mm-hmm. to us. All right, so I'm going to tell you first about our victim. As much as I could learn about our victim this week using news stories, there was a Facebook page devoted to him that I looked at, read the post, read the comments. You can tell it was just very lovingly created in honor of him.
Is this a recent case?
Fairly recent.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And now, compared to last week's, yes, very recent.
Much
yes.
So. Okay.
But this happened in 2016, so okay. not too long ago. But I want to talk to you about Wesley Adam Clifton, 23 years old. He lived on Perry Works Road and worked at Zaxby's in Boaz, Alabama, which is part of, like, isn't there, is it? I always thought Boaz was in DeKalb County.
It's in Marshall County.
Marshall County. Okay. But okay. Apparently there's an area, the area where this happened was Etowah County. So those counties meet.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I'm not going to go down this rabbit hole of geography, but I know that Boaz is not in Etowah County, but that's where he is from, and he worked in Boaz.
Got it.
At Zaxby's.
Okay.
So Wesley, I have some notes that I got from his personal Facebook page. He went by Wes Clifton on his personal Facebook page. He studied art at JSU. He went to Sardis High School and, as I said, was originally from Boaz, Alabama. Now, his Facebook, I have a few things I'll read at the end, some things that he posted, but a lot of art. You can tell he was an art student
right. And
enjoyed that sort of thing.
I'm almost surprised I didn't know him because he would have been like a year older than me.
Mm-hmm.
And
at JSU.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes. So he worked, as I said, at Zaxby's. He goes to work on Wednesday, June the 8th, 2016. The next day on Thursday, he does not report to work. And this is not like Wesley. His coworkers say this is odd for him to no call, no show. And the fact that he had just received a raise. So there was no reason to be disgruntled, I wouldn't think, with the
right.
with the his job or with anybody there. He didn't really have any issues.
Yeah, that's not when you quit showing up.
Right.
Yeah. If you asked for the raise and didn't get it, you know, and then you didn't show, you're like,
Yeah, they probably wouldn't have taken notice. Or if he had been a troublemaker or had some issues with colleagues or customers, they probably would have said, nah. But they noticed. This first call, first no call, no show, they noticed. This is not
good. Employees hard to find. That stands out.
Correct. Then the next day on Friday the 10th, when he didn't show up, they're really concerned mm-hmm. and worried, mm-hmm. and they're trying to get in touch with him. He is reported missing on Saturday, June the 11th. So last day he's seen is Wednesday. He's reported missing on Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
So news reports start coming out about a missing man. Those reports start coming out on June the 15th. They say that authorities are searching for him at this time. Your standard rollouts, if you know anything, if you've seen him, please contact. They had a contact person. And so all of these reports go out. Now, on June the 15th, 2016, they discover a body in a shallow grave around 5:30 p.m. near a pond just off of Black Bottom Road near some chicken houses in northern Etowah County. This is how Etowah County gets mm-hmm. involved. Now, shortly after the discovery, they then identify the body as 23-year-old Wesley Adam Clifton. And at this point in time, he's been missing for about a week.
Okay.
So they come out with this and they say, we've discovered a body. The articles in the paper say they believe it is Wesley, but they're trying to verify. Then once those reports come in that they have verified it as him, they roll that out as well. And immediately they're going to start saying that they found his car 6 miles away from where his body was found. And they received some tips. They were never clear, or they purposefully were not clear on the tips.
Yeah, right.
But that they have two persons of interest. And those persons were taken into custody. All they would say is they were acquaintances of Wesley. And that they lived, or one of the suspects lived, not too far from the shallow grave there at 300 in the 300 block of Black Bottom Road.
Okay.
So you sort of have to piece this story together from the different police, the police reports, and from the articles mm-hmm. that are coming out on the internet, because I couldn't find. Did you find any more podcasts on this or anything, Katie?
It was like Gadsden Times articles, local news articles, really, like
AL.com. Mm-hmm. Okay. A lot of local coverage, for sure, about this.
I don't know where Scott's coverage was, but
I don't think I did that one.
Yeah.
Mediocre, right here.
I'm just kidding.
All right. So by Thursday, June the 16th, the day after they bring these folks into custody, they're saying, okay, we're charging two people with the death of Wes, and that's going to be Kenneth Tyler Parker, age 25, of Boaz, and Amber Nicole McCoy, age 20, of Albertville. They just come right out. And they're not saying a whole lot about it. What they are saying is that they received a tip, quote, a source provided information that led to a search warrant at a home at 310 Black Bottom Road. They get in the home. They find evidence that they need. Mm-hmm. Also, the chicken houses near where his body was found are owned by Kenneth Tyler Parker's parents.
Okay.
So they immediately, I mean, this was quick.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was about to say, take notice, Black Bottom Road. It's all in the same road.
All there.
Yeah.
And then the car's only 6 miles away. And they bring everybody into custody, and they start interviewing. And the authorities say that Kenneth Tyler Parker changes his story at least 3 times.
Oh, that's always a giveaway.
So it was fairly quick. The evidence, the tips, finding the body, finding the murder weapon, and talking with this individual whose story is constantly changing,
mm-hmm.
did not look, you know,
right.
look good. So we will get to a little more about Amber's involvement as Katie kind of unfolds the trial. There's a lot of courtroom stuff.
Okay.
In this one.
Cool. I love that stuff.
All right. So investigators, they find the evidence inside the home. Then he's taken into custody. Now, Amber was arrested at Marshall Medical Center South later that evening. I could not figure out if she worked there or if she was in the hospital or what she was doing there.
Okay.
But they took her into custody there. And I'm sorry about that. I guess that's my mediocreness.
Wow.
I assumed she worked there.
And that's how I assumed
it. Yeah, I would assume.
They were not saying anything further. They just said they brought her into custody from there. So I was just assuming that's her place of business. So anyways. All right. So once the trial starts happening, a little bit more information comes out. And it turns out this is what happened. Amber, she sort of lures Wes to the home.
Okay.
Once they get him to the home, Parker comes up from behind, cuts his throat.
So cause of death was a knife to the throat. Okay.
Yes. And then they wrap him in plastic, duct tape, and they bury him in a shallow grave. And people are going, what's the motive here? What's going on with this? And it's not until, as this trial unfolds, they talk about this love triangle.
Ah.
Now, Amber's not a part of this love triangle. So don't get confused there.
I think I already am.
Katie, correct me when I'm wrong. But there was a love triangle with a girl named Jessica Jones.
Mm-hmm.
And it says that witnesses are going to testify that Parker, our murderer, or our alleged murderer at this point, was obsessed with Jessica Jones, and she was involved with Clifton in an on and off again relationship. And that's what motivated this attack. Now, Amber says she thought she was bringing him to the home for Parker to just beat him up.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
But she was very surprised and shocked when he killed him.
Okay.
And that was her story.
And now also doesn't she claim to have not, to have left?
She claims to have left.
Before the actual murder.
Okay. Yeah.
So there's so many holes in the different stories, and they're having to sort of piece this together. But this doesn't come out until this trial happens for Kenneth Parker.
Okay.
So I'm going to, in just a moment, hand this over to Katie and let her finish this, because I've kind of made a mess of things here, and she's going to help us tie this up.
Boy, I hope so.
The story does have an ending. But I just wanted to say that whether or not he's going to beat him up, kill him, steal his lunch money, whatever. Mm-hmm. Why are you luring somebody to somebody's house?
Yeah,
like
what
that?
Does she get out of that? What was her motivation for doing that?
Just
doing a friend a favor?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I never could get a clear sense of why she was helping him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm curious.
Katie, did you ever get a clear sense?
Mm-mm.
So
I mean, the only thing I could figure is, you know, she must just have liked him that much and was like, oh, yeah,
well,
if
she was telling the truth.
She's a little younger than him.
She's 20 at the time.
And, yeah, and he was 24 maybe when it happened and 25 when he's 24, 25.
If she's telling the truth about
he's 25
not knowing,
when he's brought into custody.
Yeah, so.
Maybe she didn't. I mean, obviously.
Everybody's at least a year older by the time sentencing and everything happens.
Right.
Because of the court system, you know. So it's a bizarre case, and it seems absolutely senseless. And this
senseless
person that they're talking about, this love triangle, unless that's been removed, when I was looking at his Facebook page, I didn't see
evidence
of this person, Jessica.
Maybe it's purposely not there.
And they may have removed it because I wouldn't have known him back then, so I wouldn't have seen the posts, but I didn't see any evidence of this person. And I really didn't see any evidence of this person on the Facebook page remembering Wesley Adam Clifton. It's a tribute page. Friends and family, I'm assuming.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't see anything about this.
It was an on again, off again relationship.
Maybe it was, but that's what was testified to in court.
Okay.
But I'm not sure. And again, probably removed.
Yeah.
Facebook. But anyways, all right. So there's the crime. There's our big mess. Katie, let's see if you can mop this up for us.
Today's episode is brought to you in part by A&W Outdoor Services. You know, they're located right here in Cherokee County. And I called Alan myself just a few weeks ago, and he and his crew came out to my house, pressure washed the whole thing. It looks brand new. Well, as brand new as my house can possibly look after 25 years. But all I did was call Alan at 256-706-7964. He and the guys showed up and cleaned up everything. It looked fantastic. The pollen has fallen a little bit since then. So if you haven't done this already, now's the perfect time to call Alan and A&W Outdoor Services at 256-706-7964 and let them do for you what they've already done for me.
And this week, coming up at Easy Street, Tuesday nights are always bingo. Wednesday night, May 3rd, Shane Givens is going to play his piano show on the bar stage. Thursday night, we have trivia, but now we have trivia all the time. Come grab a tablet and play anytime you're there. Friday night, Cinco de Mayo, we have Jason Cameron. And then Saturday, which is the Kentucky Derby, we have the Mixin' Boys. So come out and hang out with us.
It's time to plan your best vacation ever right here in Cherokee County, Alabama.
Many outdoor adventures await. Wet a hook in beautiful Weiss Lake. Swing away at Cherokee Pines Golf Club. Climb to the best view around at Cherokee Rock Village. Hike the Little River Canyon National Preserve. Take a days-long splash at Pirates Bay Water Park, and much, much more.
The Cherokee County Chamber of Commerce and Tourism has a full list of recommended lodging facilities, RV sites, and campgrounds, and they're all set up to suit your vacation needs, whatever they may be.
So come see us from wherever you are, and if you already live right here in lovely Cherokee County, plan your summer 2023 staycation with the Chamber by visiting cherokee-chamber.org. If you want to keep current on all the happenings in and around Cherokee County, a subscription to the Post Herald is a great way to do that. The Post Herald is a one-stop shop for local, state, national, and world news and sports. The Post Herald also contains crossword and Sudoku puzzles, syndicated opinion and advice columns, and free classified ads. Depending on your zip code, you can get a full year of the Post Herald delivered to your door for as little as $20 annually during our springtime subscription drive. That's cheap. So call 256-927-4476 today and subscribe to the Cherokee Post Herald. That's 256-927-4476. Thank you for being a sponsor.
We're proud to have another show sponsor, Faraway Tree Service and Sawmill. Faraway is a small, family-owned business with small-town values located right here in Cherokee County, Alabama. But they can do big things for you. Call Faraway for anything you want done to a tree, or a lot of them. You want your trees removed? Call Faraway. You want your trees cut up and milled into lumber or ground into mulch? Call Faraway. Faraway is licensed and insured and can handle any job, big or small, from tree trimming to stump grinding and everything in between. So call Faraway Tree Service and Sawmill today at 256-393-5398.
Well, and I'm going to call him Parker because that's how he's listed in all the news articles and everything.
Okay.
Kenneth Tyler Parker.
Okay.
And so Parker, he testifies at court that the death was an accident and was never supposed to happen. His defense attorney argues that it was self-defense. So they do admit that he had Wesley brought to his home by Amber, and then they were supposed to get into an altercation, and he claims
that escalated.
It escalated, okay. And it happened due to self-defense.
Okay.
Now, when Wesley's body was found, the slit in his throat was so deep, he was almost decapitated.
Wow.
Yes, I don't know how that
sounds like an accident.
How do you come up behind someone
and cut their throat so deep that you almost cut their head off?
And that's self-defense? It's strange.
It's not really a self-defense murder.
A wound.
Yes, a self-defensive wound. Yeah. When you're, defending yourself and you accidentally kill somebody. Yeah.
Stabbing the arms or something.
That's not really how that's done. And like Kelly mentioned, the prosecutor, the whole basis of their cases, or the whole basis of the motive of the case, is this love triangle. And now, the whole time, they're trying to come to a plea deal because they do admit that he was the cause of Wesley's death.
Right, yeah.
So, they're back and forth trying to get to a plea deal, but no agreement is ever reached, so it goes straight through trial. And the judge in this case is Etowah County Circuit Judge David Kimberly, and I think we've mentioned him before. He's been
name sounds familiar.
In another case. Well, they find Parker guilty, of course, of murder. And he's sentenced to 99 years for this murder.
Yeah, it sounds like the right decision. I mean,
and
no more than I know about it.
Susan James, his defense attorney, she, at the sentencing, asks the judge to consider a sentence of just 13 years in prison.
What was her reasoning for this?
She's that they were trying to enter a plea deal and they could never come to an agreement. So she would hope, since that agreement couldn't be reached, that the judge could see some leniency in his sentencing on his part.
But the deal was never reached.
Never reached, no. So she's like, yes, find him guilty of murder. Can we get 13 years?
And the judge said, no, thank you.
No, yeah, he was like, mm-mm. Because like I said, she's still going on like, he killed him, but this was self-defense. That is how they... That's the same story they keep the whole time.
Amber's not offering anything at this point because she's saying she was gone by then.
Right. Amber is helping in this trial. She's giving them information. She's cooperating.
With the prosecution.
Yes, with the prosecution.
She's probably that initial tipster, right?
Maybe.
I'm not sure, but she is cooperating during the whole trial. But she has claimed that she did not witness what happened, that she was gone by the time that the murder took place, that she did lure him there, but she was gone by the time the murder took place.
There's nothing illegal about that, about luring somebody there, as long as you don't know it's for murder.
If I was going to say, but if you lure someone there to get assaulted, that's a problem too.
We'll get into her trial, for lack of a better word, in a second. But Parker, during his sentencing, he talks too, and he says he never expected to walk out of court with a not guilty verdict, and that he wanted to pay the time for his crime, but he wanted a lesser sentence. I mean, that's what they're arguing the whole time, that they agree he's going to go to prison, but they want a lesser sentence.
Yeah.
He said that since his arrest, he'd prayed for Wesley's family, and he said that he couldn't go back and reverse what he'd done. But if he could do anything, such as write a letter, seems, not enough.
Yeah, that doesn't seem like a fair trade.
Seems like the minimal thing you could do.
If he could do anything like that to make amends, that he would.
Oh, he's expecting them to tell him, yes, a letter would be great.
Yes, yes. He said, if I could do anything to make...
He's not even offering up the letter. He's like, if you tell me, I'll write a letter.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. If I could do anything like write a letter... If I could do anything like write a letter to make amends, I'll do it.
Well, hell, son, why didn't you say so?
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. You know what? 13 years it is, and a letter. Gah.
The judge during sentencing, he calls the murder a brutal act of stupid macho jealousy.
Well, yeah. Sounds right.
Yep.
And with this sentence, the judge said he didn't expect to be around when the defendant was considered for release. So he wanted his comments on the record now.
Oh, wow.
He said, it's my expectation and intention that the defendant serve every bit of that sentence before being considered for release.
And he wanted that on the record. He said, I'm going on the record saying this.
Because, I mean, I'm sure he'll be eligible for a parole hearing at some point in his life. I mean, if...
But the judge is like, I'm not going to be around for that.
Yeah, so. Yeah.
What's that number? Is it 15 years? A life sentence That's gets you life, a parole hearing in 15
this,
years?
He's got this a 99. Not,
this was 99
okay.
years.
99 years, okay.
You got to do at least, what, 65%? 70%?
That's... I was trying to look at that earlier because I found his expected release date would be... June 14th, 2115.
Wow.
It's not
soon.
Yeah. No. He, of course, filed his appeal with the Court of Criminal Appeals, but they affirmed his conviction. They were like, no, we don't see any reason to grant an appeal or a new trial or anything.
It sounds like everybody was convinced that it was not self-defense.
Well, it's just the type of wound that he had.
Yeah. Yeah.
No evidence could match his story. There was no
right.
evidence to match
Yeah,
that.
It seems like it's...
And then he's wrapped him up and buried him in a shallow grave on his property. I mean, very close to, like... That's a...
And kept the murder
And at
weapon.
Least one person knows where that guy was last.
Mm-hmm.
So that's not very well thought through.
No.
It's not an intelligent crime by any means. Mm. But nonetheless, it's a crime that took the life from a 23-year-old who had his whole life ahead of him.
Over a girlfriend.
Maybe.
I guess. Yeah. If you believe the story.
That's what they say in court, and that's what the judge said. Macho jealousy.
Macho jealousy.
And that's what it was.
And I mean, these boys are, they're all so young. Like, they had the rest of their lives to find girls and deal with them. I mean, and if you're going to beat someone up, though, like, you don't do it with a knife.
I wish I knew more about how they tried to explain away.
And I think one of the reasons that we don't have a lot of that is because we have Amber, who is providing a lot of that story. She pleads guilty.
She probably got a plea deal, a plea bargain.
And, well, Amber's trial or her...
Was it a hearing or sentencing or something?
And it kept getting pushed back. So she was supposed to go in and plea, and it kept getting pushed back and kept getting pushed back. So it kind of drug on for a minute, and everyone was wondering, like, what was going on. And this was all in 2019.
So 3 years afterwards.
Mm-hmm. So it kept getting pushed. And so, like I said, she was 20 at the time of the crime, so she'd be 23 now. And the 23 at the time of her sentencing. Yeah. And she pled guilty to aiding and abetting the murder.
Mm. And yes, because that's what she did.
Mm-hmm. So that's the crime there. And it's labeled like murder when you look up her
official charges.
She received a 20-year sentence, which was split to serve 5, with the balance of the sentence suspended.
So what that means is, because I had to look this up, I didn't know what that meant. 5 years in jail.
Okay.
5 years probation.
Okay. Oh, split sentence. Okay, I see. Mm-hmm.
And then the rest suspended. So if, she breaks probation or something, she'd go back and serve the remainder. But her release date should have been in 2021. And so to my knowledge, she should be out there.
Okay. She should still be on probation based on this sentencing, but she should be out of prison at this time.
Right. All right.
And if you follow the Facebook page devoted to remembering Wesley Adam Clifton, they have a remark about that. They're not happy with the 5-5 split, okay. But they do go on to say, but we understand the reasoning. So they're very, I don't know, what's the word? I mean, I kudos to the friends and family of West Clifton, because that's difficult. I don't think I would be
as understanding.
Able to say that. Yeah. And I think I would be, you know.
I read an article too.
A lot harsher.
That I think quoted the uncle of the defense attorney.
Okay.
Maybe.
Strange.
Anyway, he spoke and said how nice Wesley's family was in court and how they weren't sitting there staring daggers into the prosecution or into the defense, like that they, you know, they were nice and cordial. And he said, I've never seen that really in court. Most of the time they're just like spit mad, and they were just nice people who just
respectful of the process.
Just wanted justice for their son.
And it was happening up until Amber's stuff going on, the getting pushed back and getting pushed back. Everything was happening very quickly. The investigators, the police, they were very swift. They didn't really have an opportunity to have to hold back any information because they were busy doing their job, and then they presented everything to everybody and the people were in custody.
Yeah.
So it wasn't a case of we're trying to figure out who did this, we need your help, and then they're only releasing a few things. No, they get that tip, and like you said, Scott, that tip might have come from Amber, which is why may have gotten the sentencing that she did.
Because what I read was she was fully cooperative in Parker's trial.
Yeah.
So what does that mean?
What you can hope is that, and we've talked about this before, what you hope for is someone who was part of this crime getting a conscience and deciding to do the right thing and go to the authorities.
Yeah.
And I'm hoping that's what happened with her, that she...
I think she got caught up in something that she did not realize. Yeah. She was being a dumb kid, like, oh, yeah, this boy I like, he's going to beat up this guy, sure.
Wow.
Let me get in on this drama.
But let's think it through now. He's going to beat this guy up over another girl?
That's what got me, too.
Yeah. Why does she care?
Because you would absolutely think that she's the girlfriend in the middle.
Yep, but she's not. Maybe just a friend. I don't know. It was just so bizarre.
That's gotta
her
be hard.
Involvement in the begin to begin with. It was like, what are you doing? Why are you wanting to
be? I feel like girls that age wouldn't do something like that unless she had like an emotional attachment to that guy.
Had to be a hard conversation to have with herself before she did that. Okay, listen, I have gotten myself way off in the deep end here. I've got to confess. I've got to go tell this horrible story that I was involved in, because they're going to find out sooner or later, and my conscience won't let me.
And this is all speculation. We have no idea if this is what she did. I'm just saying that I hope that's what... I hope she had a moment of clarity and a moment of conscience and did the right thing, because that's what you hope in a situation. You hope they don't do it in the first place.
Right.
But once you get there, then you hope someone has a conscience and gives the authorities what they need in order to make an arrest and a conviction, and that's what happened here. Someone did. Someone came forward. And they were able to swiftly move. And as there was no, you know, we've talked, unfortunately, too many times about holes in investigations and
mistakes.
Mishandled things by police force. Not in this case. They did an incredible job.
Sounds
a
like
swift
job. Very, quickly. Mm-hmm. Quickly.
Yes. Once that evidence took them where they were going, they went with it. Mm-hmm. So she should be out on probation. He's still the last thing that Katie and I could find was from 2018, and he was in Limestone.
Yeah, it looks like he's still in Limestone. I saw a couple of different pictures of him in my last minute search, but
yeah.
And he's still in Limestone, which is
facility.
Where is that?
Geography.
Is that Atmore as well?
No.
It's in Alabama somewhere.
It's not Atmore.
Okay. Yeah, somewhere in Alabama, right? Yeah,
it's in Limestone.
Yeah, in Limestone.
Wait, isn't there a Limestone County?
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay.
There is.
Well, you know.
I used to know my counties, but that was
a long time ago. This is kind of your job, Scott.
Yeah, sorry. I told you guys I didn't do anything today.
It is in Harvest, Alabama.
Heard of Harvest.
Which is.
Is that down south?
It is. No, it is north.
Oh.
Like near between Athens and Huntsville.
Oh, okay. What am I thinking down south? Atmore down south?
Atmore's
okay, and Tutwiler, too, for women. Yeah. Okay, yeah. All right, so it's up north near Huntsville. Mm-hmm. Okay. So I've got a couple of posts from Wes's Facebook page that I wanted to share with everybody. Mm-hmm. Just to kind of give you a little bit of idea of Wes. He posts this on May the 30th, 2016. Patiently waiting for the stars to shine. Waiting on the moment for the one that's mine, singing these songs just to lose track of time. I think to myself, why can't this world be kind? I don't deserve to be treated this way. I'm just living my life day by day. I just listen to everything that people say. I'm just waiting for the day you walk my way. So he's just sharing some.
Okay. Something, one of those memes with the, or the gifs. Is it a meme or a gif?
It's just some lyrics that he.
Okay.
And then his final post, which was shared 6 days before he goes missing, it does have some language in it, so I won't say the language.
Won't bother me.
I know it won't. he shares a meme.
Okay.
And he says, whoever I end up with will be lucky. I've done so much for the wrong people. I can only imagine what I'll do for the right one.
Well, that's nice.
Yeah. But 6 days later, his life is cut short by some senseless act. And it's very tragic. And he did not deserve that. And my heart and my prayers go out to his family and his friends. You guys have done such a lovely job with this tribute Facebook page to him. And it shows how special he was.
Yeah.
And it just goes to show, too. I mean, violence is never, never the answer. Like, even if he, Parker had lured him there to that day to not kill him, the fact that they were even in that situation is what led to.
And you know what?
Right.
To have somebody lure someone to your house. Am I the only one that's realizing that's kind of coward?
It is absolutely cowardly.
Yeah, just bump into
if
him.
You want to be a man and you want to face another man, then do it. Go to that other man and face him man to man. Don't. Have some body.
Yeah. Yeah. Have some pride about if you believe in something hard enough to fight for it.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a chivalrous way to do
that.
Don't
be a snake about it.
Yeah, exactly.
Man up.
Yeah. Agreed. If it's that important to you, go do it the right way.
Or to the ladies out there, woman up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Come on now.
And also to the ladies out there, don't just go doing dumb stuff because a guy's asked you to.
No. Don't do that.
Yeah. Don't look at me.
I'm not.
Okay. Yeah, you are.
You're sitting beside me. So those of you who are out there and who are young, be careful what you get caught up in. Mm-hmm. Just be careful. You have your whole life ahead of you. The anger, the sadness, the guilt, the resentment, whatever that extreme emotion that you're feeling right now or in that moment. It will pass.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Give it time to pass.
Yeah, because if you make this mistake, if you make a mistake this big,
it's your life.
You're probably not going to get away with it.
Wes's life is ruined. Parker's life is ruined. Mm-hmm. It's over for them.
Yep.
I'm going to butcher the quote, but don't make permanent decisions based on temporary feelings.
Gist of it. Those feelings will pass. They feel extreme and they feel overwhelming in the moment. Mm-hmm. Just breathe. Give it time.
Yeah.
Give it some time.
This too shall pass.
And call someone who's good at helping you process those feelings, whether it's a friend, a family member,
a doctor,
anybody.
Yeah, sometimes you feel better if you just say it out loud.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Your steering
wheel.
The thing
that's bothering you.
Yeah.
You know, you just, yeah. Mm-hmm. It helps. It can help.
It does. And if you don't have someone like that in your life, you find someone.
Yeah, I have the two of you. That's why I text you at 4 a.m.
Yes.
So, yeah, everybody out there have that person that you can text
absolutely.
At 4 o'clock in the morning. If you don't have one, go get one.
Uh-huh. And we're not going to think anything about it.
Right.
So, anyways, I'm stepping off my soapbox from now. But thank you to Katie for helping me with this one, with the court stuff. And our hearts still go out to Wesley's friends and family. And we hope you have a great week, guys.
Yeah. 5-star reviews. Yeah. Say something wonderful about us. Leave us your name so we can shout out your name on the show the next time.
Yes. And oh, May is Teacher Appreciation Month.
Are we going to have a special guest at some point in the next few weeks?
We are.
Anything we can talk about?
Nope. That'll be in June, though.
Okay, that's June.
Yeah, but May is Teacher Appreciation Month. Thank you to all the teachers and educators out there. And show your appreciation to your favorite podcast by giving us a 5-star review. Give us some comments, and then we can shout you out and what a great teacher you are.
It'll be like a big hug.
Yeah, you scratch our back. We scratch yours.
I love it.
We appreciate you.
Good night, everybody.